One psychiatrist has written, children who don't experience a home live all their lives with a fundamental inability of attachment. So what is home? Home isn't just a place. Home is a relationship, a set of relationships. It's a place where I belong, where I'm accepted. And you know, relationships here in the West End, it's a great place to be, but they're pretty conditional. The West End can be much more conditional than home. You know, we'll love you if you're young, if you're good looking, if you're rich, if you're successful, if your flat's in the right place, if you're slim. But if those things aren't in place, the love may go. I think that's partly why subconsciously we're so driven. People are driven because they know they've got to win, because if they won't win, they won't be loved, they won't be wanted. But at home you're loved anyway. Or at least that's the home we long for. That's the home that we should have, a place where we're loved up anyway. And that's why today, next week, Thursday next week, Christmas dinner on Christmas Day is so symbolic. Because at that time of the year, even though this year it's on a Thursday, every shop on Oxford Street will be shut. Every shop. Because every employer will know that an employee should be at home. And no shopper should be out on Oxford Street on Christmas Day. They should be in a place where they belong, where they're accepted, where they're loved. They shouldn't be out competing, earning, surviving, purchasing. Even Scrooge in A Christmas Carol on Christmas Day says to Bob Cratchit, Tiny Tim's father, do you remember? I guess you'll be wanting Christmas Day off. Even Scrooge reckons he should be at home on Christmas Day. And that's why, do you know, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian minister, involved with weddings, funerals, baptisms, with those defining moments in people's lives, you become acutely aware of the emotional content of Christmas Day. This is Dave, a member of the church family here, and his father died yesterday. I've got an email. Suddenly, he's just gone to Edinburgh today. That's a tough Christmas. That's hard. You see, Christmas Day, for us and for our families, becomes a litmus test of where we are. What are you doing Christmas Day? Well, that's where we are relationally. And it's a litmus test of our brokenness and our isolation and our battles and our bereavements, as well as of our loves and our joys. And that's why even Oxford Street knows that on Christmas Day, everyone should be at home. And this theme of family on Christmas Day began in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was born into a human family in which he belonged, in which he was accepted. So he was born into a world that would one day crucify him, yes, but he was born into a family that fled from the murderous clutches of King Herod to protect him, because they loved him, because he belonged there. So that's the first point we've got here. Can we see? At Christmas, God sends his son into a human family. Can we see Galatians 4 verse 4 as we look down? Let's just see it there. This is a letter written by Paul in AD 48. We join him in the middle of the letter. He's talking about the privileges of knowing God. And he writes, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Now, this is historical. Can I say, we're pretty defensive about this as Christians. Because Christmas Day is such an emotional and meaningful day, and that's wonderful. Actually, we get defensive about the fact that it's historical too. So I love Father Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the shop windows of Selfridges, but actually it's not the whole story. There's a danger in the manger. And the danger is that we forget that this is historically centered. So this happened in first century Bethlehem, and Luke the historian writes of it, Luke 2 verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, and you can trace that in history. And a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. You can trace that in history, and so it goes on. So it's historic. So if you'd been there in the first century, you could have seen the baby in the manger. But here's the issue. I doubt if you'd taken a second look. You wouldn't have done. Bethlehem's worse than Tooting. You wouldn't have. Sorry if you're... Now, go on. Let me keep going. You wouldn't have taken a second look. I mean, my father asked my mother to marry him 9 times. They don't make men like that anymore, do they? I mean, nowadays, he'd have been sectioned for stalking, wouldn't he? Anyway, eventually she said yes, and then 10 days before the wedding, she said no again. Now, at this point in time, to stop him being committed, his best man took him down to Cornwall. Went down to Cornwall, he sold the wedding ring, the engagement ring, and with a small extra bit of money as well, he bought a tidy cottage, which is where we've gone on holiday for the rest of our lives. That's all the only place I've been, poor fiancé. And I was driving down to Cornwall one summer, and I passed a family camped in a field, and there was a station wagon, a tent, a dog, two kids, and a pram, a nappy, strung up on a line. And imagine if you were with me in the car and I said to you, do you realize the most significant event in the whole of history is taking place in that field, hundreds of miles from the back of beyond from London? Well, I think you'd have said, well, Rico, we thought it, but now we're convinced. You'd have passed it by. You'd have passed it by. But in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, it was the Son of God. It was God, can we see Galatians 4 verse 4, born of a woman. So God sent his Son. He was there. It's true. It's not an idea. He's real. He did get born. He did grow up. He did die. He did rise again. He is in heaven. He is coming back. And at the close of the age, we will see him eyeball to eyeball. That's what we're saying. And we're saying this is rooted in history and you can check it out. It's real. Why? Because God sent his Son born of a woman. It's checkable. There are courses that you can come on one here in January to check it out. Christian faith is information, assent, and trust, and it's information at the start. It's historically rooted. Where are you on that? But here's the question. Is that the point of Christmas? Is that the significance that God sent his Son into a human family? So when you see the tree, when you see Regent Street, when you see the shop windows, when you see the lights, do you think you're meant to think of a baby? That's the question. As you see those things, are you meant to think of a baby? Are you meant to do that? And I'd just like to thank my colleague Tim Fleming for lending me this. I know it's one of his favourites. Are you meant to think of a baby? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, you are not. If you've been thinking the baby is the centre of Christmas, that's not what you've been meant to think. Because actually, secondly, one, God sent his Son into a human family, but secondly, at Christmas, here it is, Christmas is about being adopted into God's family. So when you see the tree, when you see the lights, when you see Santa, you're ultimately to think, I wonder if you ever thought about this. This is about me being adopted into God's family. Have you thought that before? That's what you're to be thinking about. You're not to think about the baby. And you see how this theme of adoption is in our passage. Verse 4 is the doorway. Can we see as we look down that when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman. That's the doorway. The baby is, yes, the doorway. But why did the baby come? Verse 5. To redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of the sons, to be adopted. Verse 6. Because your sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. It's all about being adopted into the family of God. And I guess the next question then is, why do I need to be adopted into God's family? And the answer is quite simply, because I don't naturally belong in God's family. You can't be adopted into a family which is your natural family. You can't get out of it to get back into it. You can only be adopted into a family that is not yours by birth. No, to be adopted into the family of God means that I am not in that family by birth. I'm not, therefore, can I say, born a child of God. I came from an Anglican background. I think I thought that. And it was a great shock to me to hear that actually I was born an enemy of God. We're his enemies. So why? That's the question. Why am I not naturally in the family of God? It's because, very politely, I've pushed God aside. And I've taken central place, and I shift him out till all intents and purposes he disappears. Now, of course, God doesn't disappear. Here's the issue. He just disappears in our minds. He disappears in my mind. But that's the worst of it. Because I then step right into the center and I become God. And it may seem a small thing. For me, I just drifted into it. I can't even remember the decision. I just drifted into saying, Rico, you are central. You are God. Everything comes from you. And of course, what I'm talking about here is sin. Except people get all edgy when I talk about sin. But that's what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, God is not first in your life, is he? And he's not first in my life. I don't think for 5 minutes I've ever loved God with heart, soul, mind and strength. I don't think I've ever done it for 5 minutes. never have. And that's all I need to disqualify myself from the family of God. We don't naturally let God rule our lives. And that's why at Christmas, I need to be adopted back into God's family. It was here, standing here preaching, that a colleague of mine, Rupert Higgins, who's left now, he's working in Bristol, said something very moving, and I never knew this. He said this, he said, I don't know who my biological parents are. He said, when I was 1 year old, he said, I was in a children's home and I had no parents, and some people came to adopt me. And he said, I became their son, and he said, their love changed me. With no little emotion, he said, they put their arms around me, they educated me, they poured love into me, they fed me. He said, that love changed me. And I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, God runs the biggest adoption agency in the world. Recently, I was playing golf on my day off, and my car broke down. And I had to wait for the AA, and I was waiting there in the clubhouse with a couple of guys, a couple of old guys, and just the steward on duty. And these guys are really old guys, and they're wealthy men. One sold off a London advertising agency. The other made the oil rigs for BP in the 70s and 80s. They're very wealthy men. But as I sat with them waiting for the AA to come, all I could long for was that they understood what it means to be adopted. One is verging on Alzheimer's. The other's body is just breaking up. And I just sat there thinking, if only they understood the wonder of being adopted in God's family, of knowing prayer, of knowing the wonder of eternity, of knowing, can we see verse 6? Verse 6, can we see? Because your sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, that you can pray, that you can know there's eternity, that you can know there's a new destiny with a new mind and a new body, and it's all guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. And do you know why I long for them to know that? Because I'll be asked to take their funerals. I will. And they don't know this yet. And my question is, do you know this? The wonder of this adoption. Well, how does it happen? Let me finish now. But how does it happen? How do we come to know this intimacy, this destiny with God, this wonder? How do we find it? Can we see? Start of verse 5. This is how it happens. Well, verse 4 I'll go from. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under law. Why did he send him? Why did God send his son into the world? Do you see verse 5? Here's the why. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. What does redemption mean? It means to be bought out of slavery. It refers to the price paid to free a slave, to free a prisoner. Once that price is paid, the slave, the prisoner, can start a new life again. And as the Lord Jesus was born, over the crib were the words, born to die. So the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, his father, in a dream, Mary will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. As the baby was born, he came to secure my adoption by paying the price for my wrongdoing. So ladies and gentlemen, as we give one another gifts at Christmas, as we give these gifts away, what are we to be thinking of? Well, as I give the gift, what I'm to be thinking of is that actually the real gift is the price paid at the cross for my adoption. That's the real gift of Christmas. I don't know how Christmas is going to be this year. For some people, I guess it's going to be very tough, really tough. And you're going to be sitting there Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and you're going to say, you know, I'd hoped it'd be better this year, but it's not. And this is a sad place to be, and I'm in a sad place. And this isn't good tidings of great joy. And can I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, as that moment comes, and I hope it doesn't, but if it does, can I ask you to say, but the amazing thing is, that at Christmas, I've been adopted into a new family, the family of God, and the price paid was incomprehensible as Christ went to die, and that's the wonder of Christmas. It's not about the baby, it's about me being adopted into a new family through the cross, and my question is, have you got that? Do you understand it? Because if you do, it'll be the greatest Christmas you've ever had. Whatever the circumstances, you can go, I've been adopted into a new family. That is good news of great joy. I'm getting married in 2 days' time. It's a wonderful thing to know I'm getting married. But the great news of the next week is that I'm adopted into a new family through what Christ has done. That's what my fiancé and I are celebrating. That's the wonder. That's what we're building our marriage on. We pray that you'll be able to do the same thing. Let's pray together. Well, a moment now just to contemplate the wonder of that, that we've been adopted into God's family, that we have eternity, that we can pray, that we have relationship with the God who made us, and it's all because of what Jesus came to do. Oh, Father God, make us men and women of great thanksgiving this Christmas because of what you've done. May this be a wonderful Christmas, whatever our circumstances, because of the gift of your Son. Amen.